Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, let's see. Yep, there we go. All right, we're on the handout. Top of the handout, topic five, and we're particularly dealing with Proverbs. And we got through chapter 11 last week. We got the first two chapters of the Proverbs of Solomon. And so we're going to move on to chapter 12 and get as far as we can this day. So, this section of our outline is the Proverbs of Solomon from chapter 10 to chapter 22. And then we have some others after that to finish as well. So, I think we'll just get started. I did add a few things to the board here. First, I just had the Proverbs seem to give us a good or bad, a right or wrong, and sometimes a wise or foolish. And I added, once in a while, it talks about love or hate, and wicked or righteous. And of course, the word righteousness and right is a very important word and used often in these Proverbs. So we'll emphasize those as we get to those things. So if you have your Bibles open, we may have, you know, because we have different translations, we may have different descriptions in these Proverbs. As most of you, or I think all of you know, I used the NIV Bible, the whatever year that was, back some years back, and I've kept that. And this is a study Bible, and it's one that I use primarily. So if there's some differences, minor differences in the wording of these verses, you'll know why. You have a different translation, different interpretation of it. But I want to start by looking at chapter 12. And when you look at the first verse, I want to remind those that have been around for a while, let's say, I think most of you probably are aware of the Laugh-In series on TV. It was kind of edgy, if you want to call it that, back then. And that was on for 7 years, I believe it was. It was on TV, and it was from 67 to 73. So those of you that are younger, you may not even seen it when it was originally on. But this first verse I want to talk about in light of that particular show. Just briefly. Because one of the characters on the Laugh-In series was, his name was Artie Johnson. And he was a little guy, and he dressed up like a... And so then he would get in the bushes and whatever. And so often he would use this phrase in his comments. And so I'm bringing this up because of the word that's in this first verse. In Laugh-In, he would kind of say in his German voice, "Very interesting, but stupid." And so my translation in this first verse uses the word stupid. Yours may say something else, but I just thought...
I think it was quite stupid.
Well, yeah.
You took me back.
Okay, yeah. Maybe it was quite, I don't know. But I know he used that phrase, very interesting, in the German brogue, you know, accent. So, anyway... This is God's word here in chapter 12, given to Solomon, and it starts with, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, take it for what? Do others have different interpretation translations of that?
Senseless.
Senseless. Okay. So anyway, you get the idea. So I just thought we'd have a little fun with that, and go back in time for those that have been around a while. We'll remember laughing, but. I'd say in that particular verse, whoever loves discipline, again, the love thing, loves knowledge, and that's the good. That would be equivalent to the good. But he who hates correction is stupid. And so there, that's the bad or the wrong or the foolish or the hate or the righteous, whatever phrases you might want to use to describe what the difference is between the two lines. So
Gary, don't you think we all at some point hate correction?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know,
oh yeah.
You know, we kind of think, well, first it doesn't apply to me, but then no, I kind of hate being corrected.
Oh yeah, we're pretty sensitive to it a lot of times. don't want to be corrected, but we need to be.
So. You're stirring things up this morning.
Right? I'm going in places where I shouldn't be going. Okay. Well, we'll keep moving here then. Move along. So let's go to verse two, and see what says to us there. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, Yahweh. So God favors somebody who is good rather than bad. But the Lord condemns, and this is who he condemns, a crafty man. Now sometimes we'd say somebody that's crafty, that doesn't sound too bad. They're, you know, but there might be other words that...
wicked.
You know what?
Wicked.
Well, if it says wicked, that's probably even a little more purposeful for this meaning. Condemns a wicked man, but somebody who's sneaky or doing things that are not in accordance with God's way. And so that's, I think, the idea there. And then verse 3, a man cannot be established through wickedness. It's interesting that phrase follows that. A man cannot be established through wickedness. But, and this is good, the righteous cannot be uprooted. So the righteous receive favor from God because they cannot be uprooted. And then we move on in 4 through 6, those three verses. I'm doing three verses at a time. It seems kind of how it fits together for me. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. There you go. Got your crown on?
I knew it was in there somewhere.
So, husband's crown. But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. That's pretty strong. So we don't want that.
The first
part's good. So yeah. Okay, but it does show the difference there. And then verse 5, the plans of the righteous, the good, are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Verse 6, the words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. That's the good. So the bad and the good, again, in the two separation of the two parts of the verse. Verse 7 first. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, done away with. So the bad, ultimately, if they don't change their ways, can be prematurely done away with. They're causing a lot of distress. But the house of the righteous stands firm. And so if the house is righteous, the people in the house are doing things God's way, it will be given credit and stand firm. Verse 8, a man is praised according to his wisdom. So wisdom is very important. But men with warped minds are despised. Verse 10, better to be a nobody and yet have a servant, somebody who works for you, than pretend to be somebody and have no food. So be without food, go hungry. Verses 10 through 12, starting with verse 10. A righteous, again that term, a righteous man cares for the needs even of his animals, whether it's a horse, a donkey, whatever animal it can be, a dog. But the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. And so reminding us that the wicked are termed to be cruel. Verse 11, he who works his land will have abundant food. That's an axiom that if you will not work, neither should you eat. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And that's kind of, I guess, as it reads, fantasies, things that are imagined, things that are desired, false, you know, not things that are good, that are desired. Verse 12. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men. So that's bad. But the root of the righteous flourishes. That's good. Verses 13 to 15. 13. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk. So again, that's bad. But a righteous man, which is good, escapes trouble. Is favored, in other words. And escapes trouble. Verse 14, from the fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him, which is good also. So the whole thing is good. The fruit of his lips a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. And verse 15, the way of a fool, here we have that word, seems right to him. But a wise man listens to advice. So the fool doesn't listen, generally, and isn't going to take advice. And so that's where they go wrong. Verses 16 to 18, and again it uses the term fool here in verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once. In other words, a lot of fools get frustrated quickly and get angry, whatever may be the consequence of the annoyance that they're experiencing. But a prudent man, a wise man, overlooks an insult. So sometimes you may be around fools, maybe insulting you and doing things against you, but can you overlook it? Can you go by it and not react in a bad way against them? So overlooks an insult. Verse 17, a truthful witness, one who tells the truth, gives honest testimony. You can believe them. But a false witness tells lies. And that's so evident in so many ways, whether it's in the court of law, whether it's in just life or on TV or wherever, you've got to be very cognizant of who's reliable, who's telling the truth. There's a lot of lies being told, tremendous amount. And so you separate the good from the bad. Verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword. And that's true. We got to watch our words, what we say to people, how we insult them or whatever. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so that should be purposeful. If we really have the right attitude, God attitude, you know, guard our tongue. Guard our tongue so that we bring healing to people rather than more agony. 19 to 21. Truthful lips endure forever. That's a pretty good axiom. Truthful lips, telling the truth, seeking the truth, trying to find the truth when those that are hiding from the truth don't want to tell. So truthful lips endure forever. That's an unlimited, long period of time. It really means never ending. But a lying tongue, those who lie, lasts only a moment. Because lies told, generally they can't remember what they lied about. And so they're usually found out because of that. Verse 19. Truthful lips, this is kind of the opposite. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Looks like a short time. Verse 20. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil. That's an axiom that I think is very relevant. Those who purposely plot evil, deception and lying and whatever else that fits that, who plot evil, but joy, this is the good, but joy for those who promote peace. And so that should be our goal, is to promote peace and joy and do it as often as we can, or keep doing it. Verse 21. No harm befalls the righteous. God watches over the righteous, and no harm will befall those who are truly righteous. Now, we know none of us are totally righteous, and so we can fall into, you know, evil things or wrong things. But the counter to that is, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. Now, that's an interesting comment as we look around at all the, what I would call the lying and deception that's going on. But the wicked have their fill of trouble. Trouble will come. It may not come right away, but I think trouble will come, whether it's in the court of law, whether it's in just being cast aside from favor, whatever it may be. So, all right, verse 22, the Lord, Yahweh, detests lying lips. Pretty strong emphasis on that phrase, lying. Now, in some fashion or other, I would challenge all of us, I'll challenge myself. I've lied, I think. You know, sometimes I may have told something to not hurt somebody, not tell them the full truth or face the truth. But there's other times where you kind of don't want them to know something. And so you kind of make up a part of it as an untruth. Which verse am I on? 23. 23, thank you. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Verse 24, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. So again, the good and the bad. Reflection. 25, an ancient heart weighs a man down. Ancient hearts. Anxious heart weighs a man down. That's bad. But a kind word cheers him up. Verse 26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked, which is bad, leads them astray. And then verse 27, the lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. So the bad and the good. And verse 28, to finish this chapter, in the way of righteousness there is life. Along that path is immortality. That's all good. That last verse is what we should seek. The way of righteousness, while we still have this life and are doing what we are called to do, there is life. So we can continue to live under God's favor if we particularly seek to do righteousness, but God takes the righteous too. And I truly believe that we just witnessed in the last couple of weeks. In the way of righteousness there is life, but along that path is immortality. And so we'll live forever. The righteous will live forever in God's presence, or in God's kingdom. And so that's what we should seek. The good versus the evil. And the other things I put on it. Right versus wrong. The wise versus the foolish things. Love versus hate. Wicked. Righteous and not wickedness. So, all right, let me move on to chapter 13. And again, I'm going to go through primarily using the term good or bad, just as a simplification, but form your own word that it's emphasizing for how we should deal with these different things. So verse 1 of chapter 13, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. That's very evident in our society. You know, not being obedient to your parents or your husband, spouse, whatever you're going against. Verse 2, from the fruit of his lips a man enjoys good things. That's good. But the unfaithful have a craving for violence. And that's so evident in our times particularly. But it started with Cain and Abel. And we're going to talk about that in there, Raymond's message today. He who guards his lips guards his life. That's pretty important. Watch what you say, to be guard over your life. Now there are reasons sometimes a person's life may be taken because of what they've stood for. And I think Charlie Kirk is an example. That there's somebody that hates it so much, the truth that's being told, that they don't want to hear it, and they respond accordingly. So he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So that's the bad and the good. Verse 5, the righteous, that's good. The righteous hate what is false. That's a pretty strong statement too. Because, you know, I'm sure you see it and recognize it as I do in our culture. It's no big deal to lie. You know, I've heard congressmen, well, you're expected to lie. You know, it's just part of the way things work. You know, it's just unbelievable that lying has become so acceptable. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace. Verse 6, righteousness, again that word. Boys, it's throughout Scripture. I encourage you to reflect upon that because that's being right with God. Keep aligned with God. Follow His way to the best of your ability. Righteousness is up and down from God to earth. Righteousness guards the man of integrity. So if the man does follow the right way of doing things, often, you know, most of the time he will be blessed by God for it. But then you have the other side, the bad, but the wickedness overthrows the sinner. But wickedness overthrows. They're drawn to wickedness. And that causes them to be a sinner and therefore causes them to be out of a relationship with God and doing the wrong things. Verse 7. One man pretends to be rich yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor yet has great wealth. So some succeed. One man pretends to be rich and yet he has nothing. And why? Another pretends to be poor, so he hides his wealth, yet has great wealth. So you can say there's maybe a little good and bad in each one. But anyway, it's an interesting verse. Verse 8, a man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. So that's good. Verse 9, the light of the righteous shines brightly. Look for the bright light. But the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Their light goes out. There's darkness. They usually do the dirty deeds in the darkness. And so I think that's very significant. Verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels. So watch the pride. Do not be prideful, because it generally ends up getting into arguments and debates and what have you, and breeds quarrels. But wisdom, this is what's good, is found in those who take advice. You know, there's some people that don't take advice very well. Sometimes it's unwanted. But you do it in love, and again, it's a topic of love, not hate. But do it in love. Pride only breeds. Okay, that's the one I did. Verse 11.
Yep.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. So be satisfied with what you have and use it wisely. Verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if there's a continuous hope and nothing gets better or happens, that can make you heartsick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. And we're all looking forward to the tree of life in the eternal kingdom, where there'll be no sickness, no death. So, but the tree of life was there in the garden when God created it. But what happened to that tree of life? Satan took the fruit, gave it to Eve, and she passed it on to Adam. And look at the mess we have. But God made a way out of that through giving his son to us. So let's see. He fulfilled verse 13. He who scorns instruction will pay for it. So there's consequences. But he who respects a command is rewarded. That's good. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Good. Turning a man from the snares of death. Good. 15. Good understanding wins favor. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. The good and the bad. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge. Use the knowledge that you've been given to act. But a fool exposes his folly. That's bad. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble. Bad. But a trustworthy envoy brings healing. Good. Verse 18, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame. Bad. But whoever heeds correction is honored. Good. 19, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. That's good. But fools detest turning from evil. That's bad. Turn from your wicked ways. Verse 20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Again, the good and the bad. Verse 21, misfortune pursues the sinner. Bad, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. 22, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. So who benefits from what you have accumulated? And so that's always a challenge. Verse 23, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. Something happens that causes injustice and takes away what the poor man has in his field. Verse 24, he who spares the rod, and this one's a common phrase, I'm sure you've all heard it, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. So that may be frowned upon by some parts of our culture today. You don't use the rod on your children. This seems the preferable way, as far as I see what this is saying. He who spares the rod hates his son. Discipline is so important in the raising of children. Verse 25, the righteous eat to their heart's content, so they're free to eat. But the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. So there's consequences to wickedness and not being able to have food. I'm going to start on 14. I probably won't complete it because I'm going to quit here at 20 till or a little after. Let's just go on with a few. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Again, the good and the bad. He whose walk is upright fears the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But he whose ways are devious despises him. That's bad. Verse 3. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. So that would be the good to protect them from the rod. Verse 4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. So the ox is an important animal, and there was particularly in the harvest, bringing in the harvest. Verse 5, a truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. There's clearly good and bad. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none. That's bad. But knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Good discernment will give you knowledge. Verse 7, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Again, separate the good from the bad and follow the good. Verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Look around. How much deception do we see around? Verse 9, fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. So again, the bad and the good. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Each of us have to face different things we go through. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed. That's bad, but there's a consequence. But the tent of the upright will flourish. Good. Verse 12, there is a way that seems right to man. Again, you've heard this verse before. There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. And that's something that should cause us pause. So seek the right way. Seek the things that are righteous and right in our life. And in the end, we'll not have an early end, generally. God may take us early, as we've seen, but there's a reason for it. And I'm just going to make my own comment on this. But I see what we're seeing is a spiritual revival in this country. Now, will it last? We never know how long it can continue to last. But the response to one man's death has been amazing to me. So, but we need to continue to watch and see what God is doing in this time. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. Verse 15, verse 16, and I think I'll stop there because that's about halfway through this section. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. So I'll leave it with that word of warning and keep from being a hothead. So anyway, we'll stop there and pick up on the reading next week and continue on and continually see how these are relevant. This is not just for Solomon way back in the 900s or whatever 900 BC. But it's even more relevant, I think, for us today with all the craziness that's going on. So anyway, let's close in prayer and prepare ourselves for a time of worship. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. We thank you for your word, all of your word. Help us not to overlook any of it as we study and grow in our understanding of what you're telling us in your word and hopefully responding to it, wanting to do what's right in your eyes and not follow the ways of the world that seem to be pointing us in a whole different direction. So, Lord, we just ask for your blessing now as we move into our time of worship. We ask for a blessing upon the people who come into this place to be part of our worship service. We ask for each part of our worship service to be a blessing to all that come. And so we pray for the prayers that will be lifted up. We pray for the music that has been chosen and we will sing I thank you, Lord, for Charmaine who picks the songs, and it's a blessing to be able to look forward to the music that she selected. So we thank you for that. But we thank you also for every other part of our worship service. We thank you for the time of communion where are reminded each week we come into this place and we participate in the body and blood of Christ through the bread and through the wine, or the drink, the juice. And we just thank you for the scripture that we're looking at back in Genesis, and particularly after the fall in Genesis. We're reflecting on this day, and Raymond will have a message to give us on that. So we just We just thank you for all this, but we thank you for the fellowship that we have in this place. And we ask for a blessing on each person that is part of our fellowship here and those who may be listening in as well. I just thank you for each one of them. It's such a blessing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.